So we're finishing up our series on the Holy Spirit today, Learn, Unlearn, and Relearn, on the gift of tongues. So before we get into that, I just want to just go over a couple of books again that I've mentioned before. The Gift and the Giver by Craig Keener. This is a great book. Be helpful just on the gifts of the Spirit as well as on the character and person of the Holy Spirit. Sam Storms has written a book called The Beginning Guide to Spiritual Gifts. Francis Chan, this is a very inspirational book. Francis Chan is a good thinker, but he's a very inspirational writer. And then last but not least, Jack Deere, Surprised by the Voice of God on Hearing the Voice of God. Be another helpful book on hearing the voice of God. So the goal, the elders' goal for the series has been to gain a greater understanding of the work of the Spirit and bring clarity where there's confusion and teach a biblical understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit as well as the work of the Holy Spirit so that we would experience a greater work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives as well as in the life of our church. And today, this last message is on the gift of tongues. From 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. I purposely left this one as last for a number of reasons. It actually came up on Mother's Day, and I thought, oh, that's not right for Mother's Day. It could be a potentially divisive topic. Many of us have had very positive experiences with the gift of tongues. And for those of you that have the gift of tongues, you would probably say, I think everybody would say that it's been an incredible blessing in their lives, but that's not the experience of everyone. Others of us have had negative experiences because my experience, and most people have had negative experiences, because of an unbiblical use and understanding and really overemphasis on the gift of tongues. And so today, my goal is, then there's probably others of us that are here that don't have a church background or don't come from more conservative backgrounds. And so you're totally ignorant on tongues. And so you're actually pretty blessed because you don't have any preconceived ideas and understandings and baggage. So what I want to do is to bring clarity, and I was going to call my message Clarity and Sanity. Bring clarity to the gift of tongues, bring sanity to the gift of tongues. Because my experience is that there is two extremes. There are people that teach that the gift of tongues is the end all to the Christian life, and it's the panacea. And I've actually talked to people that their pastors have told them that whatever problem they have, pray in tongues for 2 hours, and I'll take care of it. Okay, and they go pray for 2 hours and it doesn't take care of it, and so they become disillusioned, hurt, and discouraged. And then there's those, for whatever reason, because you were taught that the gift of tongues isn't valid for today, that maybe it closed with the apostolic age, and so and you've been told that it's of the devil, and anybody says the T word, you run for the hills. And so what I want to do is wade through those two extremes and give you what I believe is a biblical perspective on the gift of tongues to help us understand it and see it as a valid and actually a gracious gift of God for our own personal edification. So I want to, we're going to read the scripture, chapter 14, verses 1 through 19, and then we'll look at the text. So let's have those reading come up and read for us.
First Corinthians 14, 1 through 19. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up.
Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church.
Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue.
Let me make a couple of observations before we get into the text. Paul doesn't teach on the gift of tongues, per se. He makes comments about tongues when he addresses the Corinthian church, because the Corinthian church, one of the issues at the Corinthian church was the overemphasis of tongues as the mark of spirituality. And so Paul is when he's arguing against that and bringing a biblical perspective on church life and the spiritual gifts, he is arguing against the overuse of tongues. And so when he mentions tongues, he mentions it in that context. And so it's not really teaching per se, but he's just making comments to support his argument. Okay? So bear that in mind. So what I'm going to do is go through the text today and mention 3 or 4 things that really revolve around the purpose of the gift of tongues. Okay? But first I do that, I want to tell you about my first experience with tongues. I became a Christian when I was 21 years old, and I was on fire, and I remember going around telling everybody that I had found Jesus, and I remember telling a girl that I went to high school with that I found Jesus. She said, "Great, why don't you come visit my church?" And I said, "Yeah, let's go." And so I took a friend of mine, my best friend at the time, and we went to the church, and it was a Pentecostal church that was African American, and we were the only white people there. Okay, so it wasn't hard to spot the visitors. Okay, and so the guy was preaching along, and I was on the edge of the aisle, you know, because I was excited, I was into what he was saying. So I'm on the edge of the aisle, you know, really getting into what he's saying, and so then he points me out. And he said, told me to come up. And I looked to my friend, and he's, you know, wide-eyed, you know, because he kind of knows what's going to happen. And I didn't know anything was going to happen. And so I said, "Sure, I'll come up." And so I go up front, and I had these two healthy black women in white nursing uniforms come up behind me. and put their hands on my shoulders and in my arms. And then the guy says, do you have the Holy Spirit? I had no idea what he's, I just kind of, I didn't know what he's asking me. And so then he said, do you want the Holy Spirit? And I thought, well, I want more of whatever I got. And so, yeah, I want more. So then he tells me, you know, he's still yelling and screaming, you know, so saliva's coming at me. And then he comes at me and he puts his hand on my shoulder and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he slams me on the head. And then by this time, the women had put their hands on the back of my head to protect me. Okay? Because they knew what was coming and nothing happened. So he starts coaching me, and I just, no, I had no idea. So he did it two or three times, nothing happened, so he kind of just started ignoring me and moved to the next person. And I turn around, and I didn't see my friend anywhere around. And so I'm kind of looking around again. I'm the visitor, and so I'm looking around, and so somebody said, well, he left. And so I went out, and my friend is frantically pacing up and down the sidewalk. And he looks at me and he says, are you okay? I said, of course I'm okay. I said, why did you leave? He said, I thought they were going to invite me up next. And I knew I wasn't going to put myself in that position. So that left me bewildered and puzzled about the gift of tongues. And that was literally within a couple of weeks. So let's pray and then we'll look at the text. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace in our lives. And Lord, I ask that you would use the gift of teaching and preaching to bring light to the mind. That you bring clarity and you would bring truth. And Lord, I ask that you would bring heat to the heart, Lord, that we would ultimately desire more of you in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that for all the spiritual gifts, Lord, we thank you for the gift of tongues and that you tell us it is an incredible blessing in our lives. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help me to communicate that in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's my definition of tongues. Tongues are spirit-inspired, faith-driven prayer language for the purpose of personal edification. Out of all the other spiritual gifts, tongues is a spirit-empowered or spirit-driven spirit-empowered, faith-driven prayer language for the purpose of my own personal edification. So praying in tongues is meant to edify myself, and that's one of the things we're going to look at today. So let's look at the purpose of the gift of tongues. Let's look at verse 2 to start all with, and 14. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not as to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So the first thing that Paul tells us is that tongues is a form of personal prayer towards God that is not directed toward individuals like prophecy, but it is directed towards God. And now some of you may have, that have a background where tongues was a part of your church life, you'll say, well, David, I heard people pray in tongues, and then somebody came up and interpreted it, and it was a prophecy toward the church. And what I would say is that biblically, you cannot support that. Paul makes it very clear that tongues is a prayer language. He says that over and over and over again. It is directed towards God in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. So what happens is because we've been taught that tongues is a form of prophecy, so if someone is giving a tongue, another person gets a prophecy that they assume is an interpretation because that's what they've been taught. So they get up and say, this is what that is, which I think is wrong. So I'm not saying that they're wrong, that tongues or prophecy is wrong. They just don't go together. So tongues is a form of prayer towards God, not towards individuals. Paul describes tongues as speaking mysteries in the Spirit. Tongues is a prayer language that goes beyond our normal cognitive language process. So tongues is a unknown language that goes beyond our normal cognitive language process. That is, we communicate with our mind. Our mind is controlling our ability to speak, and tongues flows from the spirit of the person that is energized by the Holy Spirit so that it transcends the normal cognitive process. So look at verses 14 through 16. And this is what Paul says. For if I pray in a tongue, again, his tongue is prayer, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what he's saying? So the context there is that Paul is describing the praying in tongues without an interpreter is really no benefit to the body. When the body gathers together, the primary benefit is the edification, the encouragement, the building up of the whole church. And so he puts a priority on prophecy because that is understandable and intelligent, communicable, and tongues is not, unless it's interpreted. So the purpose of corporate worship is edification. So that's why he puts the emphasis on prophecy. And so it would be like somebody came here and spoke in another language. So let's just say we had a speaker and we invited him here and he spoke Russian or Portuguese. And none of us know Russian or Portuguese. And they got up and they just started preaching. There would be no edification because there would be no understanding. And so when I go to other countries and I preach in other countries, I always have an interpreter because it is useless for me to get up and to preach without an interpreter. Because edification comes through our understanding what's going on and what's being said. So Paul, when he makes this statement, he does not reject tongues altogether. He says that tongues is beneficial for the person who is praying in tongues. Because it's for self-edification. That is, it builds us up individually. It strengthens our spirit or our faith. And so again, tongues is a prayer language that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. So the human spirit is empowered by the Holy Spirit when we pray in tongues. So the Spirit gives the language to our spirit to pray in tongues. Okay, so the first purpose of tongues is personal prayer. And related to that is personal worship. Look at verses 15 and 16 again. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, that is pray in tongues, but I will pray with my mind, that is, pray with my normal language. I will sing praise with my spirit. Now he's talking about worship, singing, praise in tongues. But I will sing with my mind also, that is, with words I understand and know. Otherwise, if giving thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? So now he's describing tongues as prayer, but also praise and thanksgiving. And so the Spirit empowers our spirit with words, thanks, and praise that goes beyond our normal ability. And so often, God gives people the gift of tongues when they desire something, or when they desire more intimacy with God, or they want to be more connected with God, and they're seeking to be more connected with God, and God gives them the gift of tongues. We had a gal in our church in Los Angeles, and I have never taught a ton on tongues. I've publicly in church. So I've been here for 14 years, and I think I've done it 3 or 4 times. And when I was in Los Angeles, I don't even know if I did it once or twice or in the 6 or 7 years we were there. I don't even know if I actually ever did it. People knew where I stood on it. And so there was a girl, the gal who had become a Christian in our church. And just during worship one time, she was just worshiping the Lord. And she was just saying, God, I want more of you. I want to connect with you more. And there was this longing that was developing with her in the midst of her worship of God that she wanted something more. And God spontaneously just gave her the gift of tongues that facilitated her connecting with God and strengthening her own spirit. So first of all, the purpose of tongues is personal prayer. Second is personal worship. And third, it is for personal edification. Look at verses 3 through 5. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in his spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So here Paul says that the one who speaks in tongues builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And so what he's saying is that the purpose of tongues is to build up ourselves, to build up our own faith, our own faith, to restore, to strengthen, to... It's a building term. It's talking about putting together that which has fallen apart, or putting together a spiritual house within yourself of sorts, to build up your faith. And the reason why Paul says that prophecy is greater than tongues, because when the church gathers together, what builds up the body is words that people understand. And so prophecy builds up. He goes on to say that it instructs, but it builds up, where tongues doesn't unless it's interpreted. So praying in tongues benefits us by strengthening our faith. And if you look at where Paul appeals in verse 5, he draws a conclusion. Look at 5 again. So now he's drawing a conclusion or an inference. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Prophesy in the church, as I said, because it builds up the whole church and not just yourself. And as I said, the reason why he says this is because the prophecy instructs the church, which is the central reason why the church gathers. Look at verses 18 and 19. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words with a tongue. So now we're all free to pray and sing in tongues if it's not distracting to those around us. And so what Paul says is that tongues in the corporate environment is not meant to be used and exercised without an interpreter. So if it doesn't have an interpreter, then you don't exercise that. But prophecy is something that does, because everybody understands it. But he's not limiting necessarily our ability to express ourselves with tongues as long as it's not distracting other people. So in the midst of worship, I frequently pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. But I do it in such a way that I'm not distracting those around me. I'm not loud, I'm not overly, where it would be a distraction. When we were in Los Angeles, and I was pastoring in Los Angeles, and I had somebody who was coming, a gal who was coming for a long period of time and had a strong ministry towards young people and down and outers. And one time in the midst of worship, at the end of worship, we were kind of coming down, we were doing some intimacy song, it was more reflective. She just started praying in tongues, singing in tongues out loud. And there was no interpretation. And I got up and I said, I didn't know her. And I said, first of all, I said, that's inappropriate because of these are the scripture parameters. I went around the scripture parameters. And she was offended and hurt because she told me that she couldn't control it. And I said, well, that's not biblical, because Paul freely puts constraints on the spiritual gifts. And so Paul says that when you're in private, or if you're not being distracted, go at it as much as you want. but it's not for necessarily, the best is not for public use. Now, does that mean, does Paul mean when he says that I want, or I wish that all of you would speak in tongues in verse 5, or I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you in verse 18? Does that mean that all of us can and should speak in tongues? Because it sounds like what he's saying. He says, I wish that all of you would speak in tongues. I am thankful to God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. I used to think that, yes, he meant that everybody can and should speak in tongues. But I'm not that convinced of it anymore because of a couple of reasons. First reason is Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, speaking of celibacy, if you have your Bibles, let's go back there, just a few chapters back. 7:7, he says something similar about the gift of celibacy. I wish that all were as I am, but each of you has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. So Paul says, I wish all of you had the gift of celibacy, because that's what he's talking about, the context. He says, but not everybody has that gift. And then if you look at verses 18 and 19 together, and you read them, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, so he's qualifying that. In church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So what Paul is saying is that in the context of Corinthians, is the Corinthian church had basically looked down upon Paul. They looked down upon him for a couple of reasons. Number one is that Paul was very powerful when he wrote. And they acknowledged that and recognized it. But when Paul came to the church, he was not eloquent like those that knew and understand Greek rhetoric. Because Corinth was a Greek city. And so they had those who were part of their congregation that were trained in Greek rhetoric. So they were great expounders of whatever they were saying, whether it was true or not. And they were their ability to expound is what made them impressive rather than the content. And so they looked down upon Paul because when he came, he did not communicate in that way. In the beginning of 1 Corinthians, he argues that the way he communicated was for a purpose. It was to display the power of the gospel rather than the power of Paul. So that they would rely not on Paul, but on the power of the gospel. And the other reason why they looked down upon Paul is that when he came, he did not come speaking in tongues because the Corinthian church had put a high value on tongues as a badge of spirituality. And so when Paul didn't come speaking in tongues, they looked down upon him and said he wasn't spiritual. So this is what he argues. I speak in tongues more than all of you. But when the church gathers, I would much rather speak 5 intelligible words that everybody can understand and be encouraged and be edified than 10,000 words in a tongue which have no edification for the church. Do you see that? He's talking from his own experience. I speak in tongues more than all of you. It's probably hyperbole, but his point is that, hey, I frequently speak in tongues. But when we gather together as a church, the purpose of the church is to edify the body, not to edify myself. So why would I come to edify myself when we're to gather together to edify each other? He said, basically is what he's saying. He's slapping their hand. You guys are immature. You guys are self-centered. The purpose of the church to gather is so that we're all encouraged, not that we're not that I myself am encouraged. What he's saying is that when we're in church, tongues is not really appropriate because it does not build it up unless there's an interpreter. And so what he's saying is that in private, go at it all you want. But in the church, it is best to express those gifts which build up the body. And so again, so tongues, the gift of tongues, is a spirit-empowered, faith-driven prayer language for the purpose of personal edification. It is primarily a personal prayer language that you and I can exercise when God gives us that gift to edify ourselves. That is to strengthen our own faith, to strengthen our own spirit. It can come in the form of prayer or praise or thanksgiving. But it is an unknown language that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if you look at the Bible, you look at the New Testament, there's a couple of general ways that people receive the gift of tongues. One is when others are praying for them. So in Acts, you see people pray for other believers and they receive the gift of tongues. And then others just receive it spontaneously. And that's been my experience that as a pastor for 30 years, is that there are some that receive the gift of tongues when someone has prayed for them. But my experience is that most people receive it just spontaneously when they're alone or when they're asking God or when they're seeking God on their own. The gift of tongues doesn't come through coaching or prodding or telling people to make up words. That's human manipulation, because if something is genuinely given by the Spirit, it comes spontaneously. And it comes from a work of the Spirit that comes from within and overflows towards others. Those are the kind of experiences where people get a bad taste for tongues in their life. When someone prods them or someone tells you to do words. And I've even heard people say, fake it till you make it. I mean, come on, of a spiritual and spirit-inspired gift, fake it till you make it. I've had people say, just yell and scream, because that kind of unlocks it. That's insanity. And that's why today, when I said I was going to title my message, Bring Clarity and Sanity. And then the other thing is that this is not something to divide us. It is a personal gift. It's a spiritual gift that is for my personal, primary personal edification and use. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go into our last song. We're going to sing. And if you would like prayer, we'll have people that would love to pray. Let's have the worship team that would love to pray for you. Or if you just want to come up here and seek God on your own, that's great also. If you want the gift of tongues, you can just stay in there and do this last song. Say, Lord, if this is for me, I really want this. I want this gift. Give it to me. I know people that have gotten it in the shower. I know people that have gotten while they're reading their Bible. I know people that were just in intense times of prayer. Let me give you another example. When I was one time, we led this guy to Christ, Pedro Vargas, in Los Angeles. I didn't speak in tongues. I knew very little about tongues at the time, but I baptized him and he came up out of the water speaking in tongues. And he didn't know what it was or what to do with it. I had to tell him what it was and what to do with it. But he had no grid, he had no paradigm, he had no understanding, but it was a spontaneous gift that God gave him. And so let's stand, we'll worship this last song. And we have the worship team, or I'm sorry, the prayer teams come up also. And again, if you would like prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Or if you just want to come up and seek the Lord, you're more than welcome to do that also.
declare your saving grace, our deliverer, our creator. We will lift up your holy name. So
Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, we thank you that we come to know you because the Spirit blows as he wills. The Spirit causes us to be born again. It opens up our eyes that we can see the kingdom and open up our ears so we can hear the gospel. We thank you that your Spirit is the one who takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, so we say yes to you. We thank you that the Spirit is the one who empowers our prayer, opens up our eyes to see the truth of your word, molds and shapes us into the character of Christ, empowers us with spiritual gifts to minister to others, and empowers us with boldness to share the gospel, and open up doors to share the gospel. Lord, we're so grateful for your Spirit in our lives. We're so radically dependent upon you and the work of your Spirit in our lives. And Lord, I ask that as we reflect upon this series, we would stand in awe and worship to our great God, who's brought it to pass because of the work of Christ on the cross and the Spirit applying the work of the cross to each one of us to accomplish his purposes in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask for more of your Spirit in our lives, that you would work deeper and wider in us personally and amongst us as we gather and through us as we share the gospel with those we know who face a Christless eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Have an awesome week. If you would like, again, if you just like prayer as we close, you're more than welcome to come up. If you just want to come up and pray at the in front of the stage, you're more than welcome to do that also.